out and put the marquee up and all the inflatables on the green up at Hodgson's Green. Well, the joy of, I'm told, the joy of these family services is that I preach for like half the time. We're gonna go for an 11:30 finish, okay? So we try and make this service about an hour, so we have fun and we celebrate. And those that are here regularly, you're like, yeah, we're not falling for that. We know what you're doing to us. We know you're lulling us. But I need, I think, four kids that are about yay high. So, you know, I mean, if you're taller than that, you can try, but it may not work. So I need four. Bella, you'd be a great kid for me to have right now, and I love your drawing. So I need three other kids. You're gonna come forward? You might be a big Paul, but we'll go with it. Let me tell you what you're going to be doing so you don't feel scared. We're dressing up. We are dressing up. So you can choose what you'd like to dress up as. So claim your dressing up. Parents, you may just want to come and help. Come and help dress up. Who wants to be what? So we need four. So we've got four. Bella, do you want to grab one? Yeah, that's that one there. So we're gonna get dressed up as quick as we can, try and figure out how we get into them. So we're gonna dress up. Let me help Isabella figure this out. Oh, here we go. I have no idea what these do. Oh, they're gloves. other hand. Somebody needs to get some photos of this. Cute kids dressing up. Oh, we got another one here. Anybody else want to dress up? Ian? Go for it, mate. That's worth a giggle trying to see you get into that. And once you're dressed up, if you just want to come and stand here, just come and stand here. Oh, that's another glove. We got one glove. I don't know where the other glove's gone. Maybe we don't do gloves. All you need is glove. Oh, no. Oh, we got a superhero here as well. He speaks the truth. My daddy is incredible. He speaks the truth. He's my son, for those that don't know. So we have got some kids dressed up. This is slightly more challenging than we thought it might have been. This doesn't count towards my sermon time, by the way, okay? Just clearing that up. Well, let me help you. Right, are we going to line up? Are we dressed up ready? Come on. Oh, I've gone lightheaded doing that. Wow. Come and stand this way. Face forward. Miles, come and stand here and face that way. Superb. So if we want to just stand here and face that way, because I think there's people taking photos that really want to. There we go. Wow. So anybody, shout out, what do all of these costumes have in common? Sorry? Superheroes! Well, could you imagine if our life depended on that? Superb. So we've got, I think this is Batman. Buzz Lightyear to the rescue. Iron Man. Mrs. Incredible. And half a Robin. Guys, let's give them a clap, shall we? Guys, you can go and sit down. Oh, you've got your mask there. Don't forget your mask. There we go. Guys, you can take your seats. Thank you. Let's give them a clap, shall we? Very good. No, they can keep those on for the rest of the day. Everybody wants to be a superhero. Superheroes. I love superheroes. Thank you, guys. Oh, I've got a leftover cardigan here. There we go. There's so many superheroes, aren't there, in the world? There's Catwoman. Shout out some superheroes. Shout out your favorite. Wonder Woman. Love Wonder Woman. Who? Thor. Like in Thor. Captain America. Iron Man. I even know there's an Ant-Man now. Can you believe it? It's like you take an animal and just put man at the end of it and you've got yourself a superhero. But growing up, sloth, is that a superhero? I think that's one of the seven deadly sins. I'm not sure it's a superhero. But when I was growing up, I'm just going to reveal the superhero that I wanted to be, okay? No. Just for the tape. Here he is. I've been sweating all day. That was my hero growing up. Oh, Batman socks. Batman is the greatest superhero of them all. Do you know why? Do you know why Batman is the greatest superhero of them all? Because he has no superpowers. That's why Batman is the greatest superhero in the world. You see, Superman, he can fly and all that stuff, and Spider-Man has this stuff coming out of his hands. But Batman, no superhero, no superpowers whatsoever. He had gadgets, and he had the car, and he had the butler called Alfred. That's why I wanted to be him. I just wanted to be a posh superhero, really, with a butler that did everything I asked. But he had no superpowers. And that's what made him, for me, something that I could aspire to be to growing up. Because all the other superheroes made it impossible to be a superhero. Because I can't fly, believe it or not. I can't make myself invisible. I can't do any of the stuff. So growing up, I was like, I love to be a superhero. I used to run around the house. I think I broke my parents' sofa. They're here today. Because I used to run. We had the sofa in the lounge. And I used to run from the dining room into the lounge, gambol over it, and then jump onto the next with a piece of string in my cowboy hat, pretending I was Indiana Jones. I wanted to be a hero. But I knew I couldn't be because I didn't have the superpowers. But Batman, now there's one that I could be because I can cry out, holy pressure cooker Robin, anytime. And I can chase baddies that have plastic-coated fingerprints because it was all really believable and normal. An unlikely superhero, isn't he? Not like Hollywood says. He was an unlikely superhero. I want to talk very briefly this morning around the title, We Can Be Heroes. We can be heroes. And if you've got a Bible, every week we gather around the Bible, even on our family services, we gather around the Bible. And Hebrews 11 is this amazing book of Hebrews in the newest part of the Bible called the New Testament, chapter 11. And the writer lists all these heroes of the faith, all these amazing superheroes. And so chapter 11, we have, if you've read the Bible, you'll know some of these names. There's Abraham, who by faith left where he was and went out not knowing where he was going to go. And then you've got Moses, who by faith stepped out and freed the people from Egypt. There's just an amazing array of heroes. And then we get to verse 32, and I just want to read these few verses. The writer says this, how much more do I need to say? I've just listed off all these superheroes of the faith. What more do I need to say? It would take me too long to recount the stories of faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. What an amazing group of people. But I just wonder if you're like me and you read that, like me growing up, I'd love to be a superhero, but it's just never going to happen. And we read that and we think, wow, they shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire and escaped death by the edge of the sword. I would love to be a hero, but it's just not going to happen. There's just no way I could do that. I mean, I get scared going paintballing, let alone facing lions, fire and sword. So I may as well give up. And that's exactly where the people are that heard this for the first time we're at. This book is written, believe it or not, we believe it's written to Jewish believers, most probably it's called Hebrews after all, Jewish believers that had come to realize who Jesus said he was actually was who he was. So they'd said, everything that my Jewish faith points towards finds its fulfillment in Jesus. He is our Savior, and we're going to believe in him. And because of that, they were facing discrimination, persecution, even execution because of what they believed. And they were tempted, and I don't think we can blame them, they were tempted to abandon that belief they had in Jesus because they feared for their lives. And so this writer here is saying, guys, here's some heroes of the faith. Let me tell you some real heroes, those who didn't give up, those who had faith, those who were far from perfect. Because let's be honest, Abraham got his wife to lie for him. Moses blatantly ignored what God had asked him to do. so many others. If I say Samson, have we got any of the Welsh? Mary, you're our Welsh representative here. But if I say Samson, all that comes to your mind is why Delilah? Oh, yes. Yeah, yes. But I always think of Tom Jones. Why Delilah? She's only gone and had a Weetabix, for those that remember the advert. Real unlikely bunch of superheroes, but through this writer, God is saying, these are the heroes of our faith. And they're heroes, why? Not because they're perfect, but because they kept the faith. They kept believing. Church, we need heroes like that. Church, we can be heroes like that. We may not get listed alongside the greats of Scripture. We may not be even known as the greats in our generation, the Billy Grahams and the Mother Teresas. We may not be remembered past our life. But can I tell you, King David, who's one of the heroes listed in chapter 11, he describes these unsung people of his generation, those whose names never appear in Scripture. He describes them as his heroes. If you jump down, Psalm 16 should come up on the screen. Psalm 16, King David was this mighty warrior, but he was also a musician. And he wrote these songs, and we call them Psalms, and I think 76 of them are found in the Bible. And Psalm 16, which is one of his Psalms, he says this, "Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you." And then look at verse 3. "The godly people in the land are my true heroes." The godly people in the land. This is King David saying this. "In the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them." King David, one of the heroes listed in Hebrews 11, is here saying, these are my heroes. This is our heroes' heroes. They are the godly people in the land, those who have faith enough to believe God no matter what, whatever they see in their circumstances going on around them, those who will not give up, those who trust God and let it impact how they live their life, the godly in the land. They're his heroes. And I actually think Psalm 16 gives us just three practical insights about how we can be heroes. So from my experience of watching superhero films and what I'm reading in Psalm 16, can I just unpack very briefly over these next few minutes three things that we can do, we can be heroes. Is that okay? Your lack of an answer tells me that I'm going to do it anyway. This is my first point. Heroes know where their strength comes from. If we want to be heroes, heroes know where their strength comes from. Verse 1 of Psalm 16 says, "Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you." Spider-Man's strength came from being bitten by a radioactive spider. Superman, he was from another world, which meant that he could then fly and have amazing strength. Batman, because of the death of his parents, they all knew where their strength came from. David knows that his strength is not found in building the perfect life, in having the perfect group of friends at school, having all the best toys. His strength was found in God alone. His strength is found in the God who is his refuge. That is to say, God is the place that David runs to regain his strength. When I could run anywhere else, I could run around like a headless chicken. I could run around panicked. No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to run to God. I'm going to seek his presence because he is my refuge. He is the place that I regain my strength. There's another psalm of David, Psalm 18. It says, "I love you, Lord. You are my strength." Wow. I'm a man and I'm not afraid to say that I love you, Lord. Isn't that amazing? And I'm not afraid to say I love you, Lord, because when I shout out I love you, Lord, I begin to see something of your strength that is available to me. True heroes know where their strength comes from, and it doesn't come from themselves. Can I even suggest on this day where parents, we try and convince our kids to eat their 5 fruit and veg a day, true strength does not come, as good as that is, and as much as we're going to keep doing it because you're told you've got to eat your 5 fruit and veg a day, ultimately our strength doesn't come from that. Our strength comes from God alone. True heroes know where their strength comes from. And actually, Hebrews 11, if you look at the last bit we read, verse 34, it says, "And he turns our weakness into strength." Who knows that all superheroes have flaws? We know that, don't we? I can't remember them all, but Superman with the kryptonite, just going to bring him down. We've all got flaws. But when we recognize them, that we are sinners in need of a savior, then God has something he can work with. And he can say, that weakness that you think writes you off, let me turn it around and use it for strength to show my glory. See, I think a weakness, and moving on to point 2, I think a weakness that so much of our world sees is actually asking for help. But I want to suggest that firstly, superheroes know where their strength comes from, But also heroes know they need to say help. Heroes know they need help. Going back to Psalm 16, verse 7, it says, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. Bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night, my heart also instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Every hero has a helper. If I say Batman, you say? Very good. I'm going to do an obscure one now. If I say Tintin, you say? Snowy. Love little Snowy. Very good. The Avengers, I'm not going to do that one because there's so many of them, but they team up because together as a team, helping each other, they're stronger than they could ever be on their own. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. God, I need your help on this. I need you to speak into me on this because I don't get it. I don't know it all. Do you know, I was speaking to somebody recently about an issue on the news. And I just said to them, what's your view on this? What do you think about this? And he looked at me in all honesty and he said, I could tell you what I think, but it's really uninformed. And I actually don't know. And I looked at them and just went, wow, how refreshing an answer is that? Because how many of us think, I've just got to pretend to be an expert on the social media. I'm just going to have an opinion on that because everybody has an opinion on it. We live in a world where we're meant to be experts in everything. How refreshing to say, God, I need your help on this. I do not know what to do. As kids, I don't know what to do when that person's being horrible in the playground to that other person. When we're at work, when our boss isn't agreeing with us, I don't know what to do. God, will you give me some counsel? Scripture says that ask God for wisdom and he gives it generously to all who ask. God, I need your wisdom on this because I don't know what to do. I pray for wisdom every single day because I need God as my counsel. God, I don't get this. See, David lives in such a way that the Lord is always before him. It meant keeping the Lord before him. It meant that he could sing out, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, my God, are with me, my rod and my staff. He could cry that out in the worst moments of his life because God was with him and he knew how to cry out help. So heroes, they know where their strength comes from. Heroes know how to say they need help. And thirdly this, and I'm finishing here, heroes know what is right and they fight for it. All heroes know what's right and they fight for it. Going back to Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I love the way the Message version says it. It says it like this. Now you've got my feet on the life path, all radiant from the shining of your face. Ever since you took my hand, I'm on the right way. David knows what's the right way. There was a moment in David's life. And you can read about it in 1 Samuel, I think it's in chapter 24. And David has been anointed the next king. But Saul, the current king, is still there. And Saul starts to get really jealous of this new king. He's not in post yet, but he's saying, I'm not happy with this. So Saul tries to kill David, long story short. And David flees for his life, thinking he's going to get murdered. And so he goes and hides in some caves. And Saul, the king at the time, finds out where David is and he runs to chase after him. And they're looking for him in all these caves. And this moment is in the Bible. Honestly, I'm not making this up. But Saul obviously finds himself caught short and needs to go for the toilet. Now, I'm not going to go into any kind of detail, but I'm sure you know men can do a number one standing up. Well, the Bible clearly says that Saul squatted. So I'll leave the rest to your imagination. So Saul, honestly, it's in there. 1 Samuel 24. Saul is squatting in a cave. But what he doesn't realize is that it's the very cave that David and his men are hiding in. And so David's men are like, you can take him out. You can kill the king. You are the next king anyway, so let's just speed things up a bit. Go on, take him out, kill him. But David was a hero. David knew what was right, and he fought for it. So he says, no, I'm not going to do that. In fact, what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to go and cut the corner of his robe so I can show that I had the opportunity to kill him, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to fight for what is right. Because those friends and mates of David, they could have said, yeah, but you're the king anyway. Come on, let's just speed it up. It's going to be best for you. It's best for the people. It's best for the whole of Israel because you're going to be a much better king than him. Yeah, but I know that he is God's appointed man for this season. And I'm not going to take things into my own hands. I'm going to trust God because I'm a hero and I'm going to fight for what is right. Ever since you took my hand, I am on the right way. It starts with knowing that God is the source of everything. Our strength is found only in him. And then it's saying, God, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. And that leads us onto the path of life. And on the path of life, heroes know how to fight for what is right, not simply pointing out the bad. Do you know, you can turn on the news, the world knows how to point out everything that's bad, doesn't it? But heroes know how to start fighting for what is right, for the justice, defending the cause of the widow and the orphan, for saying, I'm going to stand up for those that have no voice. I'm not just going to point out everything that's bad about that kid in the playground. I'm going to start to point out the stuff that's really good about him and what God has put in him to say, yes, you are his child. And we fight for what is right. Once upon a time, there were four people. Their names were everybody, somebody, nobody, and anybody. Whenever there was an important job to be done, everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. When nobody did it, everybody got angry because it was somebody's job. Everybody thought that somebody would do it, but anybody realized that nobody would do it. So consequently, everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done in the first place. I will send that on to you if you want it. All it takes for evil to succeed is when good men and women do nothing. Church, we can be heroes. We can fight for what's right. We can point out the right in everybody else's life. We can fight for justice, peace, reconciliation. We may not be known as the greats in our generation or the generations to come, but we can be heroes right now. Everybody's somebody. Those who think they're nobodies, anybody can be used by God to be a hero. We can be heroes. Church, can I just ask right now, if you are a man, we're honoring the men today, it's Father's Day. If you're a dad or not, it doesn't make any difference. Can you just stand? We just want to pray for you as we draw this service to a close. Just stand. I want to honor, even if you're like seven and you think I'm a man, stand up because you're a man. We just want to pray for you. Alana, where's Alana? Alana, do you want to come and pray? And is your cousin coming as well? Are you going to come and pray? Let me pass you this. Alana and Samuel, learning names. Alana and Samuel are going to pray for the men in our church.
Give our thanks, Heavenly Father, for the fathers in our lives. Fatherhood does not come with a manual, and so we ask for your blessings on them, all in forgiveness where it's needed. This Father's Day, we remember the many sacrifices fathers make for the children in and their families, and the ways, both big and small, they lift children to achieve dreams we never thought possible.
We also remember all those who have helped fill the void when fathers pass early or are absent. Grandfathers and uncles, brothers or cousins, teachers, pastors and friends, and the women of our families. For the men of OCC, we ask for wisdom and humility. For the fathers, as they raise their children, give them the strength to do well by their children and by you.
Guys, let's give them a clap, shall we? Women, do you want to stand as well? Everyone, if you're able to, let's just stand together as we finish this morning. Thank you, Alana and Samuel. That was fantastic. Father God, we thank you that the same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in us. And we just ask on this Father's Day, help all of us to be the heroes that you're calling us to be in our workplaces, whether we enjoy our work or not, you have us there for a purpose. In our families, whether that's a pleasurable experience or not, whether today is a hard day or an easy day, Lord, we just ask that you would bless it now. And Holy Spirit, will you fill us with your presence to be all that you're calling us to be. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Guys, I just want to remind you, next week we're back here. Normal service resumes at 10:30, and David will be finishing off our Connecting the Dots service. But as has become an annual tradition, if you are a child in the church, can you just come forward? And we're, firstly and foremost, we're going to give all the men the most manly chocolate bar that exists, the Yorkie for men only. So if you're a child and you can just come and give those to the men, that'd be great. And if there's some left over, women, you can also have a Yorkie by the permission of the men in the church. But have a blessed day. Enjoy whatever you're doing this afternoon and know that God is for you. Amen.